As you've already seen, our Advent theme this year uses quilting as a thread throughout the season. You've already noticed, as the kids did, a bunch of quilts throughout the sanctuary. Up here, as I said, is the one that Roseanne, Mo, and Nancy made for us using designs that came from a sanctified art. Each week from now until Epiphany, there will be a different quilt block that represents the weekly theme. And you can find on the announcement sheet an explanation, if you hadn't already heard it from Bethany, about what each week's quilt block means. Most of the quilts on the back of the chairs came from my house. You're welcome to use them during the service if you're chilly. I'm kind of hot, but you're welcome to use them. My mom made the navy and tan one here with elephants on it for me when I went off to college. She made this one over here with blue elephants and green and brown on it for Ella when she was born. I know she made one for Jake, but I couldn't find it. The other pink and green one that's around here somewhere, Bones' mom made when Ella was born. A few years later, she made the dark green and brown one with reindeer on it when Jake was born. The big quilt that's back there near the children's area, actually it's right over here, with bees embroidered on that. I made that for Bones a few years ago to honor her love of beekeeping. Back when I decided to learn how to sew, I'd never sewed before, I figured why not start with a quilt? Sure. That's how I usually do things. I had a big box of fabric scraps that had been my grandmother's. My grandmother was a big sewer. So I laid out all the scraps that she had, and I found a pattern for a queen-sized bed quilt. I bought some backing fabric to coordinate with the colors from the scraps, and then I set to work. Remember, I had never sewed before. But once I had the top patchwork together, I got to work on the actual quilting part. Naive, ambitious me wanted to hand quilt this queen-sized bed quilt. And I had a quilting loom that my grandfather had made, and so I rolled the quilt up on the loom and set to begin hand quilting it. About that time, Ella was born. I tried to quilt a little while she napped, but it turns out that learning a new skill and being a first-time mom don't really work so well together. I eventually took that unfinished quilt off the loom to make space in the room for something else, and for a few years that quilt sat undone until I really wanted to finish it. And so I decided that I would give up on the hand quilting and just machine quilt it. The resulting quilt is this one here on the communion table. Since I used my grandmother's scraps, it always reminds me of her when I look at it. And even though I made this quilt, it feels like she passed it down to me. Quilts are a common gift when a baby is born, a tangible expression of love to wrap up that tiny baby. They're heirloom quilts, really heirloom quilts, passed down through generations that bind us in love to those who have gone before us. Quilts gifted to couples at their wedding, expressions of hope for the love that will cover that couple throughout their marriage. Quilts have been functional and artistic, humble and ornate. They evoke beauty and warmth, coziness, love. Quilts are blessings written in fabric and thread rather than words. Alongside the visual quilting theme, this Advent we're going to focus on what the folks from A Sanctified Art are calling words from the beginning. These are reminders, you are a blessing, that we all need to hear from time to time, especially as we face difficult moments in life. We are, as you know, entering what promises to be a difficult time in the life of our nation. I think we need to hold fast to these promises of God that can bolster us in trying times. Each of the reminders that we will focus on over the next 6 weeks are reminders, like a quilt of words to lovingly wrap around yourself. Words that tie us to generations past, words that will connect us to one another, words that remind us of our blessedness, words that give us direction and encouragement along the way. Today's reminder, of course, is you are a blessing. It's drawn from Gabriel calling Mary God's favored one, and from these words of comfort and blessing in Isaiah. In both texts, blessing is pronounced upon people whose situations seem anything but blessed. The poetic words in Isaiah were written to the people of Israel while they were in exile, hardly a place of blessing. Mary was greeted as favored one right as she was about to hear the news that would upend her world. Mary's story is familiar. We read it every year in the pageant and usually another Sunday also. That familiarity might obscure just how surprising her story was. Mary lived in Galilee. According to Kelly Nicodeha in a book called The First Advent in Palestine, which I really recommend, it's a wonderful book. Galilee was in significant turmoil at the time of Jesus' birth. It was one of the towns in northern Israel, which was considered a place where the lesser Jews lived, because it was further removed from Jerusalem and temple life and characterized by violence. The region experienced frequent altercations and uprisings. Trauma was a regular part of the people's lives. There were periodic messiahs who would pop up trying to galvanize the disenfranchised folks with promises of deliverance, only to fail to deliver or betray their followers. Characterized by such violence, Galilee was an unlikely place for the Prince of Peace to be conceived. Mary grew up in this region, and she would have been formed by that trauma and the spirit of resistance that characterized Galilee. Although she has always been portrayed as mild and meek, she is really unlikely to have been so. The song she sang, which we call the Magnificat, and we're going to read in a couple of weeks, speaks to the overthrowing of the mighty, casting them down from their thrones, upending the social order. She clearly knew struggle and resistance, even at her young age. Since the kids are upstairs today, I'm going to tread a little lightly here, but there's also the question of how Mary came to bear Jesus. Let's just say it's possible that some of the violence prevalent in the region could be implicated here. As someone who possibly experienced abuse, it would have been even more difficult for her to imagine that she was favored by God. Mary's location, her history, her status, her age, even her gender, all seemed contrary to being named God's favored one. Nevertheless, God's spirit overshadowed Mary, which just means enveloped, surrounded her, and through her body, God's spirit closed that gap between the human and the divine. Her traumatized, imperfect, unlikely body was not only a blessing, but bore God's spirit into this world. Now, Mary had trouble accepting Gabriel's words at first. I mean, who wouldn't? It's not until after he tells her about Elizabeth also bearing an unlikely pregnancy that she said to Gabriel, "Let it be with me." There's something here about knowing that she was not alone on the journey, that she had Elizabeth to turn to, something about knowing that Elizabeth was also blessed that made it possible for Mary to say yes. Now, with the pageant in 2 weeks, we have to skip over one of the weeks in the series. If you will be following along in the devotional, just know that we're skipping week two and we're going to do week three next week. Week two focuses on Ruth and Naomi, which is about not having to go alone. But today we already have that here in this text, because we have this nod, this relationship between Mary and Elizabeth to the importance of having other blessed ones with us on the journey. I'm the oldest of three daughters. When I was little, before bed, my dad used to whisper to me that I was his favorite one. After a while, my sisters and I compared notes, only to find that he told all of us we were his favorite one. It turns out that being beloved is not exclusive. My dad's love was big enough for all three of us, and God's love is big enough for the whole world. And when we are rooted in our own blessedness, when we feel that blessedness deeply, when we trust that, we can see that every created being is also blessed and rejoice in walking the road with one another. Mary was blessed, Elizabeth was blessed, And as impossible as it seems some days, we too are blessed. God's first words to creation pronounced its goodness. God looked at all the earth, including us, and said it is good. Through Isaiah, we hear that God has called us by name. We are precious in God's eyes. We belong to God. Blessedness has been our story from the beginning of creation. Now, like Mary, though, you may wonder, how can this be? So often the messages that play like tapes on repeat in our heads are negative. I'm not good enough. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm not smart enough. I'm not fast enough. Nobody likes me. I'm nobody. I'm all alone. Insert your own negative self-talk here. Too often those are messages that we received when we were really young, given to us by those who should have told us we were blessed. Do you remember the movie The Help? I only ever saw it once, but there's a scene in that movie that has never left me. One of the maids is sitting with the child she takes care of and has her repeat after her several times, "You is smart, you is kind, you is important." Ella was two when that movie came out, and I took to saying things like that to her as often as I could. When I would put her down for a nap or tuck her into bed at night, just as she was drifting off to sleep, I'd whisper some affirmations in her ear. "You're so smart and kind and funny and sweet and beautiful. I love you." I did the same for Jake. Now, I've made plenty of mistakes as a mom, but I hope that at least some of the tapes that play on my kids' heads are those whispered words of affirmation. We should all, throughout our lives, have those words whispered to us, because that is the starting place of our existence. Not original sin, but original blessing. Whatever else you are first and always a beloved, blessed child of God. Dave's out in the hallway, so I don't think he gets to hear this, but a few weeks ago when Dave and I were at the Potram training dinner, he asked me what I was going to preach about that coming Sunday. It was only Tuesday, so I had no idea. To which he replied, "You're probably going to tell us that God loves us again, aren't you?" He's right. I don't remember what I ended up preaching about that Sunday. But God loves you as a message that we need to hear over and over and over and over again. No matter what negative tapes play in your head on repeat, you are a blessing. No matter what guilt or shame you carry like a heavy weight on your back, you are a blessing. No matter where you came from or who your family is, you are a blessing. No matter what you have done or what you have left undone, you are a blessing. No matter what you look like or how much money you have or who you love or what gender you are a blessing. No matter the grief you carry or the loneliness you feel or the estrangement you experience, you are a blessing. No matter your ability or disability or pain or illness, you are a blessing. No matter what, you are a blessing. Each of us, even those of us who feel like discarded scraps, are threaded together with God's infinite love into this beautiful patchwork quilt. So as we begin this Advent season together, this truth of blessing is where we start. Rejoice, favored ones. God is with you. You are a blessing.